But if you have not seen Flora, please go and watch that. Be sure you watch the one that's on YouTube because it has the closed captioning, so you have to push closed captioning on it. But that was a very moving service. If you were here, you remember that. There were a lot of tears shed. Here's a young lady that we have been able to be involved with for many years, clear from, eighth grade, clear through through law school. So she's gone to a lot of school, and we got to be involved. But I'm just, that was a very special time as a body. I enjoyed our three Christmas Eve services on Saturday night and two on Sunday, and then we had a time with Kurt and Ty last week. If you heard that, they shared about what's going on in the local high schools in the area, and I am so glad, I'm so pleased that we have outreaches to teenagers at Carson City and in Douglas County and Dayton. And many of our missionaries, this is what really struck me, many of our missionaries are doing the same thing. I think of, Matt and Kim O'Brien, who are working in Boise. They work with high schoolers and college-age students. Kevin and Daniela are in the Czech Republic. They're reaching high schoolers. Tim and Holly in Bolivia, they're reaching college-age people. Andrew and Stephanie in Kenya, they're reaching kind of high school, college-age. Ben and Doreen in Ireland, they're working with young people. And I just think that we get to be involved in reaching next generations for Jesus all over this world. And I love it that we're doing the same thing here in our community. And for those of us who are perhaps a little bit older, what a wonderful way to invest the resources God has entrusted to us. I know there are two individuals right now who are over in Kenya. Karen Hartman and Laura Schmidt are over in Kenya right now, just helping out. They're just showing up because God's laid it on their heart to go over and minister to these young people, and along with Andrew and Stephanie. And so I just am excited about what's taking place in our body right now. And I'd like to specifically talk a little bit about Flora's testimony that she gave on that Sunday morning. We got to hear an example of our Lord at work in a person's life. By investing in young people's lives, we got to be involved in what's going on there. And tonight, we're going to be looking in that Mark passage at all-out love. We spent 5 weeks on this before we got into Christmas on all-out love, and all-out love for Jesus and for others. But Flora is an example of that. She was raised in the slums of Mathari in Kenya. It's a place that the government doesn't even recognize exists. It has about 800,000 people living in this slum. We saw pictures of that. And by our support, she could not have done this without our support. She got to succeed in high school and then law school. And you'd think the first thing that would be on her mind would be, I'm going to be moving on up now. I'm a lawyer, and I'm going to be moving on up. But that isn't her attitude. She, out of her love for Jesus, her people there in that slum, she's going to be an advocate for the children and women of Mathari. You see, the world would look at that, hey, you got a college degree, you're a lawyer now, you can go into the city of Kenya and you can make a lot of money and you can, but instead Flora's going to continue to work with the slum people. You see, the world would look at her actions as a waste. And our Lord looks at such actions as beautiful. Father, I pray tonight that as we look at this passage, that we would see an example not of hate or betrayal, which we see those two things also. the absolute rejection of Jesus, so much so that they even want to kill him. And a betrayal by somebody that's closest, one of the people who is closest to Jesus. But in the middle of those two incidents that are recorded, we have this all-out love. A person who's willing to give everything she has because of her love for you. And so we pray that we would learn. We would learn to look at things from your perspective rather than the world's perspective. That we'd have a new understanding of what is beautiful, what is good in your sight. And that we would operate that way, that when we give ourselves to you, when we give ourselves to others, that it would be a full giving. It'd be the kind of love that you exhibited. And so we thank you. We thank you for this passage, and may we really understand it well. It's in Jesus' name we pray these things. Amen. We are back to the Gospel of Mark. The last time we were in Mark was clear back in, it was actually in May we finished. And then, I wanted to finish the Gospel of Mark on Easter. And so we had to wait through the summer and through the fall and into this new year for us to get back to Mark. And then we are scheduled to reach the resurrection on Easter Sunday. And so I think we're going to really appreciate, I can't say enjoy, because it's talking about Jesus' suffering and his death on the cross and his burial. But Mark, when he starts out this gospel, he calls it the good news about Jesus Christ, the Son of God. That's what this is. It's God's good news about his son. And from chapter 14, verse 1, clear through to the end of the book, we're given Jesus' suffering, and we are also giving his triumph in terms of his resurrection from the dead and his appearances. But these verses contain the things that Paul says are of first importance. It includes Jesus' death, it includes his burial, it includes his resurrection from the dead, and it includes his many appearances. And if you remember back on Sunday, that Sunday of that week when Jesus would die and then be resurrected, on Sunday, Jesus made the triumphal entry where he came into the city and the people were all excited about him being there. There were a few of the people who were, yelling out, Hosanna, the king is here, he's come. And there were some who recognized that. On Monday, he goes into the temple there in Jerusalem and he cleanses it. He says, this is to be a place of prayer, and you guys have made it a place of merchandise and buying and selling. You're just trying to see how much you can make, and you've moved the place that the Gentiles could come and worship God. You've eliminated that by your merchandising us and selling of these different goods. It says it's to be a place of prayer, and it's to be a place for the Gentiles to come and worship the Israeli God. On Tuesday, he interacts with the religious leaders who are upset about what Jesus, about the authority that Jesus is exerting. And then he teaches his disciples about the future. And today, what we're looking at is Wednesday. It's an example of all-out love, bracketed on one side by hate and murder, on the other side by betrayal. But we're going to concentrate on the love portion of this. And one of the things I'm going to say at the beginning and I'm going to say at the end here, and I've got this on your handout, if you love someone, let them know. If you love Jesus, let him know. Talk to him. Let him know by your words and by your actions. And if you love somebody else, let them know, not only by your words, but by your actions. So if you love someone, let them know. And if there's something you must do to express love, do it now. Don't wait. Words and actions. That's what true love is all about. In verse 1, it says, "Now the Passover and unleavened bread were 2 days away, and the chief priests and the scribes were the religious lawyers of the day. They knew all the legal, you know, what the word taught and all the legal ramifications of that. So the chief priests and the scribes were seeking how to seize him, Jesus, by stealth and kill him. For they were saying, not during the festival, otherwise there might be a riot of the people." If you know anything about Jewish history, you realize that Passover commemorated a night in Egypt when an angel of death came and he wiped out the firstborn of all the Egyptians, but the Israelites had sacrificed a lamb, and they put the blood of those lambs. I don't know why it does that, but it does. Am I on? Okay. I'll try not to raise my arm again. God had given the Egyptians 9 opportunities to turn to him. And he was giving them another. But if they wouldn't turn to him and let the Jews go and worship, then their firstborn was going to be killed, and the angel of death was sent to do that in all the land of Egypt. But for the Jewish people, if they sacrificed a lamb and then put blood on the doorposts of the house, the angel of death would pass over those individuals. And they celebrated the Passover feast from that time on. The city was crammed with Jews. We have a hard time understanding how full the city was. They say that at times there were up to 1 million or over Jews who came into Jerusalem for the Passover. If you were a Jew and you lived far away and you could only come to one feast out of your entire lifetime, you'd come to the Passover feast. And these people were crowding into the city and offering their lambs. And Jesus, in the midst of this, his person and teaching was a threat to the religious leaders. And so they decided, because of his words and because of who he was claiming to be and that he had many followers, the Bible says they were envious of him, they decided to kill him. We'll eliminate that threat. We'll take his life. And instead of examining their own lives for evidence of sin, which was usual at the Passover, that's what the shedding of blood of the lamb was all about, they were plotting to kill an innocent man. And little did they know that they were killing the Passover lamb, the perfect sacrifice. They didn't want to do it during the festival because they would risk a riot that might be blamed on them and alienate the Jewish people who at least had heard of Jesus and were even his followers. They would also, alienate the Romans who were charged with keeping the peace. They were afraid of a riot in the city. So we're going to kill him. It's just the timing of it that we aren't certain of. And all of a sudden, in the midst of this death plot, in verse 3, it says, while he was in Bethany, that's about 2 miles away from downtown Jerusalem, from the old city, while he was in Bethany at the home of Simon the leper and reclining at the table, there came a woman with an alabaster vial of very costly perfume of pure nard, and she broke the vial and poured it over his head. John's gospel says she also poured it on his feet. But some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? For this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii. A denarius was a day's wage during that time. figure out however much you make per hour, you figure out 300 days worth, and that's how much this was worth. That's about a pint. And the money, you know, for this perfume might have been sold for over 300 denarii, and the money given to the poor, and they were scolding her. But Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She's done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you don't always have me. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will be also be spoken of in memory of her. You have this contrast between the hatred and the betrayal with this fervent love, this all-out kind of love. I call it extravagant love. And so Jesus here is at a reunion for close friends. It's interesting that Simon the leper is there because lepers were not allowed to be with other people. They had to go around yelling out, unclean, unclean, don't come near me. So this Simon here must have been cured by Jesus. And so you've got Simon, this former leper there, and you've got Lazarus there who had been raised from the dead. This is quite a reunion. It's a reunion for these close friends of Jesus who had been touched by him. And they're reclining on these couches with their heads at the table. I kind of like that way of eating. You know, you didn't have to use any silverware. You just kind of scooped it in right off the table into your mouth. You're reclining on the thing and yeah. Makes sense to me. It probably does to most men, but probably wouldn't make any sense to a woman. But Mary is there, and this isn't Mary, Jesus' mother. It isn't, there are several Marys in the scripture. It isn't Mary Magdalene. It's Mary, the sister of Martha and Lazarus. She's the one who had done, in Luke, according to Luke chapter 10, she had done the necessary thing. She was sitting and listening at Jesus' feet. And she had seen her brother raised from the dead, and she had heard Jesus' words, and she had heard his words about death, him dying. And she brought in this small stone flask with a long, slender neck. It contained about a pint of costly perfume. It was a scented oil from a rare plant root native to India. And she had to break the neck to get to the contents, but when she broke the neck, she put it on Jesus' head and also on his feet. 300 days worth of work here poured on Jesus' head and feet. I put on your handout, very costly, Jesus or Mary used it all, the act of loving sacrifice, taking advantage of that opportunity, taking advantage of today's opportunity. She gave it all. And John wrote that she also poured it on Jesus' feet and wiped them with her hair. So you've got this act of worship, doing what she could, taking advantage of the opportunity that reunion provided. And the reason why she did this is because she loved him. And she didn't just say it with words, she showed it in her actions. Her Lord had spoken of his imminent death, and she took him seriously. She wasn't focused on the expense. Wow, Jesus, do you realize all this I'm doing for you? How much this cost? She wasn't focused on the observers around. It was just this intimate relationship, this fellowship that she and her Lord were enjoying. And yet, some were indignantly remarking to one another, why has this perfume been wasted? For this might have been sold for over 300 days worth of work and the, you know, that amount of money and the money given to the poor. And they were scolding. They just kept on. They were on our case. Now, the some were the disciples. We learned that from Matthew chapter 26, talking about the same time. John chapter 12 tells us that the kind of the ringleader of that was Judas, the betrayer. He raised this objection. They were indignant. It means to express violent displeasure. And basically, they were saying, what a waste. Now, on the eve of the Passover, custom dictated giving to the poor. This oil could have been sold with the proceeds going to the poor. These words reveal the disciples' insensitivity and Judas' greed. And they kept it up. And she's probably, you know, I just did this act of, I love him. And I just care so much that I want to give all to him. She's probably wondering if she'd made a mistake, even if it was out of love. You see, don't let anyone or anything lessen your love for Jesus. Go all out. Now, what is Jesus' view of this same situation? Jesus said, let her alone. Why do you bother her? She's done a good deed to me. For you always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you don't always have me. What is Jesus' view of this same act and this person? And Jesus regarded the act not as wasteful, but as really basically beautiful and priceless. Jesus recognized your heart of love. And our Lord shows us the true value of the action. And by the way, just let me share this. The poor can count on a person like Mary because she's sensitive to the Lord's leading in her life. The poor wouldn't have thought they were cheated there, that it was a waste. The poor realized that a person like Mary would love them all out too. You always have the poor with you, and whenever you wish, you can do good to them, but you don't always have me. There's an order in Scripture. It's love God first and then love others. We're only capable of loving Him or loving others with His love being demonstrated through us. And Jesus reminds the 12 here that the opportunity to provide for the poor will always be there. The contrast here is between always, the poor would always be there, and Jesus wouldn't always be there with them. You see, what does it look like to love without restraint? I asked that on your handout. What would it mean to love without restraint, taking advantage of each opportunity? How often do we take time to just express our love? Yes, through words, but also through our actions. I don't know what your actions would be like. But how often do we fall down on our knees before Jesus and thank Him, love Him, express our love by our actions and our worship? How often do we take advantage of opportunities to love others, the ones God brings into our lives? And there are occasions which come in life which must be seized at the moment. Maybe the impulse to send a text or a letter of thanks to somebody comes into your mind. Do it then. Don't wait. Maybe you want to tell somebody of your love or your gratitude. Maybe give some special gift or speak some encouraging word. We saw a lot of this at Christmas. I love the way this body just kind of opens up their lives when we have opportunities to give to people. I love that. It isn't just, well, we love these people down at Jacks Valley School. No, we showed that. We revealed that. We did that with the young women from Awaken. We did that with some children here in this body who have had a Christmas in the sense of gifts. And I've just seen this take place so often. And for Mary, this was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. She did what she could when she could. 2 evenings later, Jesus would be buried in a grave. She did what she could. She was ready because she had listened at Jesus' feet. She had listened to his words. She has done what she could. She has anointed my body beforehand for the burial. You see, in many ways, the disciples should have been the first to anoint his body for burial. How many times did Jesus told them he was going to die? We have at least 3 just recorded in Mark's gospel. And at this moment, as we're looking at this scene, we realize it's one of the most tender moments of history. She's anointed my body ahead, you know, beforehand for burial. It was the only anointing he would receive. They didn't have time to do it on that Friday evening because for Jewish people, Friday evening began the next day, the Sabbath day, and they weren't supposed to do any work on that day. And Jesus says these remarkable words, "Truly I say to you, wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be spoken in memory of her." You see, Jesus is making it clear here, this isn't the end, this is just the beginning. That the good news about Jesus, his death, his burial, his resurrection, his appearances, the good news was to be preached in the whole world. And with this good news would go this story of this lovely, beautiful act done out of a heart of love. She had done more than she realized. Who knows when you give somebody when you send somebody a thank you? Thank you for paying attention to me. Remember last week when Ty was sharing, he said, you know, there's a girl who he says good morning to. I think he probably says good morning to everybody. But this girl noticed that. He says good morning to me every day, and he doesn't even know my name. And we don't realize, maybe we're doing more than what we realize. And then you come to this other end of the brackets here with this story of love in the middle, and it says, then Judas Iscariot, who was one of the 12, went off to the chief priests in order to betray Jesus to them. They were glad when they heard this and promised to give him money. And he began seeking how to betray him at an opportune time. The reason Judas was so upset about this, Judas Iscariot, was he was the treasurer of the 12. And he stole money from that treasury. He was a thief. If she had sold it for 300 pieces of denarii, he would have gotten his share. And so you have this story of Mary with on the ends the Jewish leaders and Judas Iscariot. And I just, you know, as I was looking, I just thought how horrifying and how sickening is this scene. To see this all-out extravagant love bracketed by hate on the one side and murder and betrayal on the other. And for each of these people, the religious leaders, every one of them, Mary, Judas, they all made a voluntary choice. It left a lasting memory of each one of them, of the religious leaders who had Jesus crucified. Judas, we remember him. Remember, Jesus will say about him, it would have been better for him if he had never been born. And then you have Mary. They each made a choice. For Judas, you can't love Jesus and money. You can't. You can give yourself to one or you can give yourself to the other, but you can't love them both with God's kind of love. And there are severe consequences if we try to love both or if we love money. Both Luke chapter 22 and John 13 say that the devil entered into Judas at this time, but it's clear that Judas took the initiative. He was responsible for his choices. And we realize, according to God's plan, Jesus must suffer and die in our place and for our sins. We understand that. That Passover lamb that they were offering at that time was a reminder that something has to take the place of your sins, that blood has to be shed. So we realize this was according to God's plan, but we also realize that Judas was held responsible for his choices. And he went to the religious leaders, the chief priests, with the intention of betraying or handing Jesus over to them. And he responded to Jesus also, but not with faith and love, but with betrayal. And we don't know what all played a part of that. Perhaps it was jealousy, perhaps it was greed, perhaps it was Jesus' rebuke at Mary's anointing. You know, they were looking at things in different ways there. Perhaps he was disappointed with Jesus' mission. He thought he was going to be a king, like a reigning king, and he was going to have the Jews be in charge, and the disciples were going to reign along with Jesus. They'd be in control. And yet, for whatever the reason, he made a choice. And he went off to the chief priests in order to betray him to them. And they literally rejoiced when Judas approached them. Finally, guys, we have a way. It was you look at it and you realize this was not something that quickly arose out of his. It says in when Jesus chose the 12 that he realized one of them was a devil. This was a deliberate, cold act. And I don't imagine Judas thought his choices would lead to this. He probably didn't imagine the disastrous consequences of a choice like this. We'll see Jesus give him another chance when we look at the Last Supper. He dips in the bowl, same one with Jesus. Another opportunity. See, which do you identify with, the religious leaders or Mary or Judas? I think we must be open to God's searching. Lord, search me and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts and see if there be any hurtful way in me and lead me in the everlasting way. We must search deeply to discern how we would have reacted in this same situation. You see, go all out in expressing your love for Jesus and others. Be poised to do the beautiful thing. If you love somebody, let them know. Do it tonight. If there's something you must do to express love, then do it as soon as possible. Someone said, if you are disturbed by conditions in society today, then get involved out of love for Jesus. When a person finds the social problem or need which the Lord places on his or her heart, then the challenge is to break open the cruise and pour out the resources which he's given to us. You see, knowing Jesus as Lord sets us free. It sets us free to do who he has made us as his new creation. It sets us free to serve others. It sets us free to love others without any conditions, without restraint. It sets us free to love extravagantly. And I think tonight we need to say, what has Jesus freed you to do? You see, to whom will you reach out in love this week? Maybe another question is, how will you express your all-out love for our Lord Jesus this week? And so, Lord, we thank you for this passage. May it continue to impact our lives in very meaningful ways. Moses' response is beautiful. When he realized who you were, God, he bowed on his face to the earth and worshiped you. And Mary's example of giving something that had to be invaluable to her, but she was willing to give it all because she loved you. And may our love be all out also. Thank you that we realize it's only your love that can have a good or a beautiful impact. And so we realize we need to trust you to love this way through us, because you're the only one capable of loving like this. Thank you for our time together in your word. Thank you that we can sing some songs about the death of Jesus and the blood shed for us. Thank you that we could hear from Ben, just how they're just trying to be sensitive to your leading in their lives and love those people over there. And we just pray that you would continue to use them and give them wisdom as they have this new baby and as they decide exactly where you want them to serve you. Thank you that you'll do that and make that clear to them. May we be much in prayer for them. Lord, we also do want to pray for Chrissy Whalen. She's in really in severe pain right now. And we just thank you that we can bring her before you and pray for her in the midst of all this. No real easy remedies. And so thanks that we can pray for her too. May you show us how we can express our love to her and to the family in this time. And we pray these things in our Lord Jesus' powerful, wonderful, loving name. Amen. Lord,